You're listening to the Trekmate Family Network.
Okay, so here we are speaking to the lovely Marina Sirtis.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm good.
The first question I have to ask is, you've probably been asked it a couple of times, caravans, it's a bit random.
Listen, you ask me to go somewhere, I'll show up, right? Especially if it's a free trip to England.
Yeah.
Because this was ideal, because I didn't have plans to come to England this year, so when Nikki asked me to come, it really was a treat. So,
was you stateside at the moment?
Yeah, I've been stateside for 25 years, yeah.
So it's always a treat.
Any excuse to come home, yeah.
Excellent. And do you have quite a familiarity with caravans then, or is it just random?
No, not really. Apart from our lovely trailers, of course, on the set, which were caravans.
Yeah.
Which actually, I had a flat in New York, and our caravans at work were... Mm-hmm. I think my caravan was bigger and more luxurious than my New York apartment.
Before I ask any Star Trek questions, I read that you're currently going to be working on a project called Unbelievable. Is that right?
No, it's not actually.
Ah, that's incorrect information from IMDb.
It is incorrect information. That didn't work out. Yes. But
okay.
Michael Dorn is in it. Actually, there's a lot of Star Trek people in it.
Yeah.
I think some of the old ones, like Celeste Yarnell and Barbara Luna, I think, are in it. And
Koenig seems to appear everywhere.
Who?
Walter Koenig.
Is Walter in it? I don't think Walter's in it.
I don't know, but he seems to appear everywhere.
No, I don't think Walter's in it. There's a few ex-Star Trek people in it. The kind of guest starring kind of people, yeah.
Are you still doing a lot of voiceover work at the moment?
Not as much as I was, but to be honest, it's my least favourite form of acting.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really bother me if I'm not doing a lot of voiceover acting.
Because a lot of the Trek actors do a lot of voiceover work, but I suppose it's so much harder to inflict any sort of emotion or get across any sort of story just from a script.
Well, it's actually a real art, I think, voiceover acting, and I've never really been trained in it. I've been lucky to do the stuff that I've done, but I don't do voices really. I do accents, not so much voices.
Yeah.
But I remember when we were shooting Gargoyles, and we had, it was basically a Star Trek reunion every week. They had voice actors in there who just did voice acting. And the director would say something like, oh, I need an old Scottish man who talks like a dog, who can do that. And somebody would put their hand up and do this amazing thing. And I'll go, how the heck do they do that? So
it's a real art form.
It is a real art form, yeah.
And I have to say, other than Star Trek, I was pleasantly surprised because a couple of years ago I got into Without a Trace.
Oh, and you saw me in that too.
Yes, it was fantastic. It's a really good episode.
Thank you. Yeah, I do turn up as in guest shots. I did Grey's Anatomy last year. I've done, you know, The Closer with Kira Sedgwick. It's nice to do, I guess, some really nice parts in other people's shows now.
Yeah, definitely. So with Troy, it wasn't until Disaster that she really had a chance to step up in any sort of command sort of phase.
Right.
Do you personally wish that Jellicoe had forced that uniform on her a little bit earlier on in the series?
Well, we only had him for one season, one episode, I should say. And that was Chain of Command, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was.
One.
But I was just saying, do you wish that maybe Troy had the chance to
be in a uniform before? Well, actually, yes, I do. The reason that I wasn't wearing one from the beginning was that I was actually a few pounds overweight. And I just didn't... I know.
That's probably only by Hollywood terms.
By Hollywood terms, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm the fattest actress in Hollywood, by the way. But
and one of the skinniest in the building at the moment. So.
You see, I know it makes no sense at all. But anyway, it was basically because I didn't look good in the space suit; it didn't suit me. So, but then they were on at me all, you know, over the every 5 minutes to lose weight, and so I had to lose weight.
Because it was really from that point when you got on the jumpsuit, the proper jumpsuit, that your character just seemed to turn around.
I know, it was weird. It was almost as if once they couldn't see her cleavage anymore, they realised, oh yeah, she's part of the crew.
We can actually write her into
exactly.
the situation.
She's actually part of the crew with a proper job, and she's been to Starfleet Academy, you know, so why not? I was very happy with being in a spacesuit, to be honest.
And with the Worf relationship right at the end, for me personally, it felt like the progression through the seventh season was quite natural, but then it was quite forced to push them together right at the end. What was your feelings on that? Because obviously they'd had the whole Riker arc all the way through.
Right. I never liked that Worf and Troy relationship. My opinion was that the producers have just seen Beauty and the Beast once too many times, and I didn't think it was very original. And also, Michael Dorn's my best friend over there, and it was kind of naff kissing your best friend.
Yeah.
It was really kind of, oh, this isn't right. No, he's my best friend. He's like a brother to me, you know. Yeah. So, no, it never felt normal or natural to me. Michael Dorn loved it, I have to say, because he'd been trying to get his lips on mine for 7 years. But,
well, on a similar note, when I spoke to Jonathan Frakes earlier last year, he did try to insist that the bathtub scene was completely in the nude.
Yeah, well, he would. I mean, I actually the top half of me was.
Yeah.
It was. Because obviously I couldn't have any bra straps or anything showing. And we were sitting in a hot tub, which they just kept, like, aerating to make the bubbles.
Yeah.
And because we were in it, we just stayed in it while they were lighting and stuff, and they would top it up with hot water.
Did you come out like prunes?
We came out like prunes. But I realised at one point Jonathan's eyes were getting wider and wider because the bubbles had subsided and my girls were just floating on the top of the water. So I went, oh, make more bubbles. So, yeah.
And obviously one of the constant jibes that you must get is you're the one that crashed the ship twice.
Yeah, apparently.
Well, the second one was under orders.
Yeah, so I do. I know, I do say that. Old Baldy told me to crash the ship in Nemesis, so I had to follow orders. But I do have a fan, Megan. My fan Megan. She explained to me that I didn't actually crash the ship. She explained
it.
She explained it in technical. I mean, I had no clue, but she explained it in technical terms that actually I didn't crash it. But I have to say, that planet just came out of nowhere.
It really did.
Yeah.
You would have thought that there's plenty of space
to avoid. That planet just came. Honestly, it's like an old lady driving a car down the road. There she was, out of nowhere.
So, speaking of your fans, there's been quite a push from some of your fans to try and get you on to Dancing with the Stars.
Yes.
Stateside.
And it didn't work.
No. Are they going to try again for next season?
I don't know. I did hear a rumour that they actually don't like you promoting yourself to get on it.
So the more you keep shtum, the more you're...
Yeah, so now my feeling is now they know I want to do it. I don't think I should do... I mean, it wasn't my campaign. My fans did it.
Yeah,
my fans did it. But they're asking me again this year, do you want us to do it again? And I'm not sure that I do, because it might be working against me rather than for me. So they all know I want to do it over there. So the problem is it's chock-a-block with reality stars.
Unfortunately.
Yeah,
it really is.
It really is, because they're current, you know, and reality's so big.
You could always come over for Strictly over here.
I would rather do Strictly, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think it's a better show, she said under her breath.
Bit more upper class.
Well, it's just more I think it's more fun, because we don't take ourselves as seriously as the Americans.
Oh, it's all very tongue-in-cheek.
It's all very tongue-in-cheek here, but over there it's like they're curing cancer, for goodness sake.
So, and that's just one of the big differences stateside. It's very literal.
Everything's very literal. Irony is lost on Americans generally.
Do you find yourself getting into a lot of situations?
I do. I found myself saying, "That was a joke. That was a joke. That was a joke," because they think I'm being serious.
So otherwise, everyone would just think
they think I'm being insulting everybody all the time. Yes.
So, what have you got? Many projects coming up in the next year?
A few. I'm very superstitious though, so I don't talk about them until I've actually signed the contract.
Yeah.
So, but as you know, the fans will know about it instantly and the word will get out in a nanosecond.
Oh yeah, well that's the thing. There's so many places reporting everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and we've got a really good guy. As soon as he sees anything, the whole world knows.
Well, see, I don't even need a publicist anymore because I've got the fans.
It's very much changed recently with the whole social media aspect of things.
Yes.
So,
not that I do social media, because I'm a total Luddite, actually. I hate technology.
I don't think you even need to, though.
Well, but I don't.
Everyone else does it for you.
Yeah, but the thing is, what I hate about technology is the fact that nowadays, because of the instantness,
yeah,
I know that's not a word, I just made it up, of it, people expect you to be at their beck and call when they want.
Yeah.
And I actually had this conversation with LeVar Burton, because he's always telling me off that I never answer my cell phone or my mobile, and I don't respond to my emails promptly. I do my emails in the morning.
Yeah.
And then I close my computer and I don't go back to it till the following morning.
Yeah.
As for my mobile, I've got my car's a stick shift.
Yeah.
So if I've got a phone in one hand and what am I going to steer with, right? And also, I still have an old-fashioned answering machine in my house so that I can screen my calls and talk to who I want to talk to. When I talk to them.
Caller IDs are godsend.
Right, so this thing of, like, I'm supposed to be available to the world 24-7 just doesn't fly with me.
Yeah.
It's like, I will call you back when I feel like it.
Yeah.
You know, or when I feel like talking to you, or I may not, you know. I just don't like being expected to be at everyone's beck and call all the time.
Yeah. Have you got any plans to do any conventions over here in Blighty?
Well, I actually met someone just a minute ago who asked me if I was available in July to come back to Manchester.
Oh, that would be cool.
So we'll see. Maybe that might happen.
Because you're very much more conventions in stateside.
Only because they don't ask. No. Only because they don't ask me to come. I mean, I don't just show up out of the blue. You know, I don't just show up at the convention. Oh, hello, I'm here. No, I mean, I'm invited.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't invited me to England for about 2 or 3 years now.
Well, that's awful, especially considering Star Trek London last year.
And I wasn't there.
No.
Gates McBloody Fadden, right?
She wasn't there either.
Oh, she wasn't? Who was there?
Only Sir Patrick, Brent, Michael Dorn from TNG were there. So, yeah, no, it would have been lovely.
I know. I would have loved to come.
Especially after TNG's 25th.
Exactly. So, you know, you have to get onto the promoters in England, because it's not me, it's them.
No, I'll
they
be straight on
me.
Jill of DeGrow from Media 10 to say, this is what we need this year.
Exactly. Thank you very much. I would greatly appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
God bless, sweetheart.
Don't worry, we will get to the bottom of this.
All I ask is a tall ship and a star steer by.
I don't want excuses, I want answers.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
How do you think that tells me about your character?